Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to Balance Point. I just realized that I've been going for 3 minutes and we had no audio. Anyway, let's try this again. First off, I do want to welcome you if you are a first-time visitor to the Balance Point community. We welcome you. And we invite you to just kind of pull up a chair, pull up a screen, pull up a computer, and enjoy. This service is our gift to you. If you are a regular Balance Point family member, welcome home. Now, before we get started, I do want to take a little bit of a moment to take care of a small bit of housekeeping. And that is, normally at the end of our messages, we do take our local groups take offerings wherever they may happen to be located around the world for the use of doing the ministry right where they are located. But so we don't break the flow of the meditation that we're going to be having this evening, we do ask that you hold off taking your offerings up until our Sunday service. And we just kind of ask that, you know, just because this is kind of a somber. So bow your hearts with me as we open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before your throne today on a day that marks both the saddest day of the year and at the same time the happiest day of the year. And it's a day when we remember the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Father God, I pray that this will be a day of remembrance, a day of new life, a day of new hope. A day when your glory and your love is unveiled. Father, I pray for those who are going to be joining us on the stream. And I pray for those who are going to be watching this recording after the stream. And I ask, Father God, that you would just speak to their heart, speak to their mind, speak to their spirit. Father God, lift up those who are downtrodden. And give hope to those who have no hope. We welcome your presence here today. In the name of your Son, Yeshua, our Lord and our Savior. Amen and amen. Turn with me in your Bible to Mark chapter 15. We're going to be starting in verse 27. And the title of today's message is The Torn Veil. Today, we, as a Balance Point family, commemorate the crucifixion of Jesus. And leading up to today, we have been studying about the love of God. We've studied, you know, about the love of Christ, the love of Jesus, and how that love compelled him to sacrifice himself on our behalf. And today we're going to read through the crucifixion. We're not going to read through the trials. We've done that in previous years. But I want to read through the crucifixion from Mark. And then I just have a few things to say about it. So Mark chapter 15, verse 27. This is after the trial with Pontius Pilate and, you know, after the leadership has incited the people to say, crucify him, crucify him. And they've taken him out, led him outside. With him, they also crucified two robbers, one on his right and the other on his left. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads, saying, Aha, you who destroyed the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests, also mocking among themselves with the scribes, said, He saved others, but himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. Even those who were crucified with him reviled. Now, when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness. Sixth hour, that would be about 12. There's darkness over the whole land, which lasted until the ninth hour. That would be 3 p.m. In other words, for 3 hours, it was dark. This was no eclipse. No eclipse lasts for 3 hours. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood by when they heard that said, look, he's calling for Elijah. Then somebody filled a sponge full of sour wine and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink, saying, let him alone. Let's see if Elijah will come and take him down. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice, and he breathed his last. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, truly, this man was the Son. Father God, we just thank you for this time of reading your word. And Father God, we give ourselves over to the understanding of what you have presented to us in your word. We ask, Father God, for the grace and the peace to be able to strongly be able to live this word. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen. And the veil was torn from the top to the bottom. Now this is one of those things that can easily be misunderstood. You see, here in our modern times, when we think of a veil, we think of a piece of gauzy fabric, you know, like the veil that a bride will wear, you know, something kind of gauzy, kind of thin like so. But the veil that was torn in the temple was vastly different. We are told that when Herod was doing a remodel of the temple, he had made the holy place and the holy of holies, instead of being a cube of 30 cubits, he had increased the height of the holy place and the holy of holies to 40 cubits. Nobody's really sure what a cubit is, but if we just kind of use the average, which is kind of the royal cubit, that's 18 inches, so a foot and a half. In other words, the separation between the holy place and the holy of holies was around 60 feet tall. And the thing that is called the veil probably would be more properly called the curtain. This was a piece of woven fabric that, according to Jewish tradition, at the time of Jesus, was a good 4 inches. I want you to picture a slab of cloth this thick, and 60 feet tall, being torn, starting at the top and going down. Okay? I barely can tear a little handkerchief. Imagine a cloth. I want you to in your mind, imagine a cloth, a full 4 inches. That's that's a feat that, to be really honest, is humanly impossible. So why was that claw? Well, the scripture tells us that in the crucifixion of Christ, in the crucifixion of Jesus, God was reconciling man to himself. In the crucifixion of Jesus, when the veil, when Jesus said, "It is finished," and that veil tore from the top to the bottom, God was saying to the world, the way to me, the way to God, is now open, and anyone may freely enter. Now, to understand all the symbolism, we need to go back to the Old Testament, all the way back to Genesis, because you see, from the very beginning, there were veils. From the very beginning, there was separation. When the man and the woman sinned in the garden, they separated themselves from God. They hid themselves from God. They were veiled from the very life that it brought them forth and hid. God, in his mercy, veiled himself. When he would appear in the Old Testament, it would be an Old Testament appearance of Christ. And the glory that would be revealed in those appearances, God would limit himself. God would veil himself. When God appeared to Moses on the mountain, he was clothed in a cloud. Why was God veiled? God was veiled because it was an act of mercy. Because you see, if God had not veiled himself, if God had not covered himself and revealed his full holiness and revealed his full power, the sinful man, then man would have been crushed. Man would have died. God had to veil it, or there'd be none to survive. God veiled it. God veiled it. When the coming of the tabernacle and the coming of the priestly order, God's intention was that all males would be the priests of their house. But because of sin, he had to narrow it down. And so he narrowed it down from all males to the line of Levi. And because of sin again, he had to narrow it down again from all of the Levites to the sons of Aaron. And eventually, because of the sin of the sons of Aaron, God said, only once a year can you approach me. And only when you have the atonement of the atoning blood, the shed blood, and only when you have that shed blood? Will you come in after having filled the incense and put fire to the incense? So you would be cloaked in a cloud of incense, so you could not look upon the very presence of God. Again, God is veiled. God is hidden. And so, the veil being torn says, all may enter. All may approach the throne of God. All are free to come into the presence. That veil represented the partition between God and man. That veil represented another separation. Because you see, when the man and the woman sinned, when the man and the woman sinned, they became separated from each other. You see, after they sinned, they realized that they were uncovered. And they were ashamed of that uncovering. And so what they did is they sewed fig leaves to hide themselves from each other. They sewed up fig leaves. And so there became a separation within humankind. But with the tearing of the veil in the temple, God is saying that the separation that kept one person from another person is no longer important. Paul writes that in Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female, free nor slave, Scythian nor barbarian. The separation between each and every one of us has been removed. The veil was torn so that all may enter. You see, we were veiled because of our sin. And because of our sin, we were ashamed. And we hid. But on that cross, sin was put to public spectacle. On that cross, Jesus undid what Adam had done. Adam was perfect and had sinned. And he covered his sin. He hid from God. He hid from himself. But Jesus did not hide. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us. And in his body, he bore the sin. He bore the shame. In his body, on the cross. You see, where Adam hid and sowed fig leaves to cover his sin, Christ was crucified. Naked, where every scar, where every bruise, where every cut that he took for you and me was there on the spot. On that cross, Jesus was mocked. But what the mockers didn't realize is they were mocking sin. Because Jesus put sin on display on the cross. And so the veil of shame. The veil of despair was ripped. You see, without a perfect sacrifice, the best we could ever hope for is to cover our sin. But Jesus, when he said, "It is finished," paid the debt in full. When he said, "It is finished," and sin had been fully and totally revealed on the cross. When that happened, the veil of shame was torn. God is saying, when that veil tore, no longer do you have to be ashamed to be in my presence. No longer do you have to fear my wrath. I've made a way for you. You see, when the veil tore on the cross, when the veil tore in that temple, as Jesus was on the cross, the covering that hid God from us so that we would not be destroyed, and hid us from God because of our shame, was torn. And the way was made for us to encounter God face to face. So what does it take grab a hold of this opportunity? We must hang our sin on that cross. We must be willing to openly reveal our sin. Not necessarily to God, because God already knows our faults, our failures, our frailties. But more importantly, we must be willing to reveal our sin to ourselves. We must be willing to openly confess and put to shame the things that would separate us from God. Because the veil is torn, we can go to the mercy seat. Because the veil was torn, we can kneel at the altar of the cross. And we can put our sin on the cross. And by the sacrifice of Christ, our sin will be made a mockery. Our sin will be ridiculed of and spit upon. Our sin will be put. You see, that is the power of the cross. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. Love tore the veil to reveal the grace of our God and our Savior. Love not just covered our sin, but love made such a mockery of our sin that our sin no longer has the power to separate. We're no longer separated. We're no longer separated from each other. In Christ, we are one people. Most importantly, we're no longer separated from ourselves. Our real selves, our true selves. Not this shell that you see. Not even the mind whose thoughts you hear as the words come out of my mouth. But the true person who God has made you. The veil that separates. So how do we get? Well, the word tells us if we will confess with our mouth. What is Jesus Lord of? Well, he's Lord of heaven because he came from heaven. He's Lord of earth because he lived an earthly life sin-free. He's Lord of the grave because he went down to the grave to release those who were held prisoner, who awaited for their salvation in him. Jesus is Lord. And if we believe in our hearts, that God raised him from the dead. And we're going to celebrate that in 3 days. God raised him from the dead. We shall be saved. So what is this confession? Confession is saying the same thing about ourselves. That God has already said. What has he said? The first thing that God has said is, he loves us. He loved us enough to send his only begotten Son that whosoever would believe in him should not perish. Whosoever would believe in him would not be separated from life by the veil of death. He loves us. That's the first thing we confess. Second thing we confess is that we sin. What's sin? Sin is simply missing the mark. We fall short. We blow it. I mean, hey, that's reality. We can't pay our debt. That's the third thing. So God has paid the debt for us. That's confession. So if you've never trusted that Jesus, through the death on the cross, pour the veil on your sin. If you've never trusted that Jesus made a way for you to come to the Father, today is the day that you can trust him. If you once walked with Jesus, but you walked away and you went back to the veil and you sewed it back up so you're separated from God again, the veil is torn. The top. You can walk back and you can have eternal. If either of those two things are where you're at today, pray with me this morning. Heavenly Father, I know that you love me. I know that you want to be with me. And I understand that I make mistakes. I fall short. And because of that, I can't be with you. Not only that, I can't even make up the difference to come back. But thank you, Father God, that you have made a way for my debt to be paid through your Son Jesus dying on my behalf. And so, Father God, I accept that gift. And I ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to help me to live a life that is pleasing to you. And I will live for you each day. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer with us, we would love to hear from you. And hearing from you is very simple. We have a variety of ways that you can get in contact with us. If you're watching on the video, our contact information is up on the screen. You can email us at staff@bounce-point.org. You can contact us on our Facebook page by just looking up Balance Point Church. On YouTube, we are The Balance Point Church, or you can mail us at 1998 East ORIS Street, and that's in Willowbrook, California. If you prayed that prayer, we would love to hear from you. Praying that prayer doesn't mean that you've joined the church. It means you've joined something much, much bigger. And that's the family. And so we would love to hear from you. If you don't have a church home, you really should have a church home. There's just no way around it. The word says that we should not forsake the gathering together with the brethren. If you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to get in contact with us. And we are affiliated with many churches. Not only that, but we have Balance Point locations throughout America and around the world. We can find a home group for you or a church. Or if you're in a situation where you, for whatever reason, can't get to a church, we invite you to come to the Balance Point Ministry Center, which is at www.balance-point.org. Register an account. We're actually in the process of putting together online small groups, online Bible study groups, where you can have an opportunity to be ministered to and a minister. Because it's not just about what we receive from God, but it's about what God can do through you and through me. And we invite you to join us. Join us on this great adventure as we live to love and serve the Lord. And now, prepare to receive the blessing. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who made the way for us to have access to the Father. We give you honor, and we give you praise. And we go to live in grace and peace. Amen and amen. Until the next time, Sunday, Easter Sunday, may God bless you.